No, I know that, but the clothing?
Special engagements.
All right. We'll get started.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to open the public meeting, please. Can we take the roll?
Chuck Brown?
Here.
John Cummings?
Here.
Ralph Dantino?
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Sam Hill?
Here.
Dean Kilberg?
Here.
Craig Maladroth?
Here.
Richard Marks? Ron Singer?
Here.
Don Vogelsberg?
Okay, Alderman Vogelsberg is with us by telephone today because she's feeling under the weather. This is a public hearing on the 2012-13 budget. Do we have anybody in the audience
who would
like
to open
comment?
The public hearing on the budget?
Thank
Second.
You.
Can we have a Pledge of Allegiance first?
We will before the City Council meeting.
It's there, Ron.
So
there's a motion.
There's a motion. I got a second from Alderman Flanagan. Everybody in favor of opening the public hearing?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now, public hearing for the 2012-13 budget. Does anybody in the audience have any comments? No. Anybody on the dais?
Move to close the public hearing
second.
On the budget.
Okay, Alderman Brown, Alderman Dantino, all in favor of closing the public hearing?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. Okay. Can we move right into the city council?
Congratulations to Mary, who presented the budget last week or a couple weeks ago. It must have been a wonderful presentation because nobody's objected.
There you go. Okay, now we'll open the city council meeting. We'll take the roll for that, too.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Don Cummings?
Here.
Ralph Dantino?
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Sam Hill?
Here.
Dean Kilberg?
Here.
Craig Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marks? Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Okay. Welcome to tonight's City Council meeting. You've probably noticed by now that Kevin Burns is not chairing the meeting. So as Mayor Pro Tem this year, I get to sit in when he's absent. As I said, Alderman Vogelsberg is joining us from home. Can we start with the Pledge of Allegiance? Bob Tomaszewski, are you out there? Would you like to lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think we should take note that Alderman Marks has joined us.
Thank you. Sorry I was late.
And who was
the
fine young gentleman?
Sort of figured you would.
Excuse me?
Given the date, we sort of figured.
No, these all are done pretty much.
Mr. Chairman, who was the fine young man who led us in the pledge?
That's Bob Tomaszewski. He's a Boy Scout working on an Eagle project. If you recall, he's going to work on staining the gazebo. Well,
mm-hmm.
His project will result in the gazebo being stained. All right. Item 3, special items and presentations. 3A, Mayor's reappointment of Patrick McQueenie to the Fire Pension Board and Police Pension Board.
Approval.
Second.
Alderman Hill and Alderman Flanagan. I think on this we'll take a roll call, please.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Okay, all in favor. Mr. McQueenie, are you out there? You didn't run away. Thank you for doing this. Don, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. 3B, consider the mayor's appointment of Jennifer Main and Geetha Lingham to the Strategic Plan Advisory Commission.
So move.
Alderman Singer, do I have a second?
Second.
Alderman Marks, I'll do roll call on this as well.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
All right, Geetha. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for serving. You know, the Strategic Plan Advisory Committee is kind of near and dear to my heart. I was on that for a long time. Thank you very much. Okay, 3C, proclaim May 2012 as Mental Health Awareness Month. I have a motion for that.
So moved.
Alderman Second. Marks,
Alderman Singer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
On the printed agenda.
Oh, thank you, Don.
It was on the hard copy.
3D, presentation on Settlers Hill Master Plan by Michael Donahue and Chris Lannert. For those at home, Pete, are you going to link to this?
It's ready.
It's ready? Okay. Mike?
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem and members of the City Council. My name is Mike Donahue. I'm the county board member from District 11, which is primarily Geneva and portions of the city of Batavia. It's good to be back here again. It's been a while. For those of you who may not know, I was planning director here from 1992 to 1998. And from 98 to the early 2000s, I was a planning consultant and stood to address many of you back in those days, and it's good to be back. Only difference is I don't have an hourly rate tonight. The guy with the hourly rate sitting behind me will be addressing you shortly. But I am the chairman of the what we're calling the Fabian Property Utilization Task Force, which is really charged with coming up with a surrounding environs. The members of that committee include Karen McConaughey, the chairman of Kane County Board, John Hoshite, the president of the Kane County Forest Preserve District, Mayor Burns from Geneva here, Mayor Shelkey from Batavia, Kane County Board member Phil Lewis, who is with us in the audience tonight, County Board member Mark Davis, also of St. Charles with Phil, Monica Myers, who is the executive director of the Kane County Forest Preserve, and Tim Harbaugh, who's also here tonight from Kane County. So this is really a joint planning effort between the County of Kane and the Kane County Forest Preserve District, primarily because the land involved is owned by both of those entities. The goal of our committee is to develop a master end-use plan for the Settlers Hill area and the surrounding areas, including the former jail site and what we're referring to as the Fabian Woods area. The process of developing an end-use plan for this area has really been originally contemplated in, with the original permitting of Settlers Hill starting back in the late 1970s when an end-use plan was essentially required as part of the permitting for the original landfill. And on or around 1999, a committee started to form anticipating the closure of Settlers Hill and started to develop various ideas. And there were several committees that sort of stopped and started and got together between 1999 and today. And so what we have done with our committee really is to start out by taking all the collective ideas that have been generated over those 12 or 13 years and to take a look at those land uses that were recommended that really stood the test of time and the multiple deliberations over the various committees. So what we've done is we've taken all of those ideas that were generated and put them on the exhibit that Mr. Lanner is going to be presenting to you here in a moment. And with this exhibit, this is a preliminary draft concept of those ideas, and we're engaged in a series of public meetings in the area, such as tonight, to really introduce the concept to the stakeholders in the area and to begin to get preliminary feedback from those various stakeholders. We will be presenting this plan to the County Board Committee of the Whole on April 23rd, later this month. And then following that meeting, our task force will once again reconvene to take all of the preliminary feedback that we've gotten through the series of public meetings and discuss potential revisions to the plan. After we revise that plan, we'll republish that for public inspection, and we'll schedule public hearings in June on the plan itself, and then potentially be back to the county board and the Kane County Forest Preserve District in the July-August timeframe for approval of the plan. Two components to the plan. The one component is the land use plan that Chris Lannert will be presenting tonight, along with a report. And the second component is a fiscal impact assessment that will consider all the costs and the potential revenues and funding sources that could be used to develop out this plan. One of the key aspects of it, I think, from the county board's perspective, is that the various uses you see here need to be self-supporting from a financial standpoint, that they would be developed through a use of user fees and lease revenues that could be derived, and that this would not be something that would be supported by the local property tax levies. So with that introduction, I will turn it over to Chris Lannert, who will overview the various components of the plan, and to the extent you want to entertain any comment or question after that, we'll be available to address those items.
Good evening. My name is Chris Lannert. I have my office just down the street at 215 Fulton. I've been here for a long time. In fact, I first worked with Waste Management in 1978 when they were closing what was the old Midway landfill and starting Sellers Hill. And I've been working with them a couple of times in terms of the expansion. I think, as Mike pointed out, we are looking for an end-use plan which will be user-driven. We also want to make sure that we have a plan that really returns on the promises that were made to the county and also to Geneva, that when this is all done, there actually will be a use and there will be some benefit that will be derived for the county as well as for the residents surrounding the landfill who have put up with it for all of these years. I think in terms of an overview, before I get into the specifics of the plan, we really wanted to create user-driven activities. We feel the more people that we can bring to this site, the more potential we have for economic development. The more economic development we have, the better it will be, you know, for the area. We certainly did not want to minimize the environmental impact. Kane County, as well as Geneva, has had a long history of being environmentally conscious. This plan, I think, builds on those same concepts. It relates to many of the things that the county is now envisioning in their 2040 healthy living you know, plan, so we want to focus on those. And then lastly, as Mike pointed out, this is not, while it's conceptual in nature, we really want to look at things that have an economic you know, viability. As I go through the plan, I'll be able to explain some of those things to you, because we're working with a number of people who do want to actively use the site. I'm sure you're all familiar with what's happening along here. This is Kirk Road, which is along the east side, Fabian along the south side. This is Route 25, and the Fox River should be rendered in blue, but it's not. It's just off to the upper left-hand corner of the side. And then up the top is the railroad tracks. This is the Fox Run community. We met with them last week. As you go along Kirk Road, you know you've got Cougar Stadium, you've got the Strikers, you've got the ice arena, you've got the old waste management, the water testing building, which is now being leased. You have the opportunity for some additional private development north of Fabian. You've got all the way down here, which is the jail site that Mike spoke of earlier. So I'll talk through some of these uses, but probably the one that came through on most of the reports, and anyone who's had the opportunity to actually get up on top of the landfill knows that it's 167 feet above ground. So from this observation overlook area, you can see for miles, literally, all the way up to Elgin, all the way down to Aurora. You can see out to Johnson Mound. If you turn the other way on a clear day, you can even see Chicago. So we really think that as a destination point for walkers or hikers or participants, we think that's a great spot for them. We've got some plans that we're detailing to that. In addition, it would be a great place for watching the 4th of July fireworks if you don't have anyone's backyard to go to. The other important thing, which is part of the Forest Preserve's involvement, is a first tee organization that's very active presently down in Aurora. The First Tee is a national organization that sponsors underprivileged children, gives them the idea of what golf is, teaches them leadership, teaches them the rules of the game, tries to get them interested both as a long-term participant but also as a learning and nurturing experience. As part of that, the Forest Preserve will be building this new hole, which will become the replacement for the hole that exists underneath the what is proposed on this plan as a driving range, which will give you a full-service 18-hole golf course plus driving range, which has been missing at the course for all of you who have played there. And then that driving range, as well as the existing buildings, as well as what will become an executive six- or seven-hole course, will be the basis of the First Tee. And that's an active organization. We'll be making a joint presentation with us to the county board. They will participate both from a financial standpoint as well as from an endorsement standpoint. The other people that we're working with, jumping a little bit ahead of, is a track and field. They are looking to have cross-country track meets here, both for state, national. They're looking to try and get some NCAA-sanctioned events here. We've worked with them on a couple of different iterations in terms of looping the plan so that we have 1, 3, 5, and 10K races all coming back to the same point. If you're not familiar with the track, they actually have chips in their shoes, so you can track them as they're going around, and it's very important to be able to see where the runners are at any point in terms of the course. Mostly, if anyone has kids in cross country, you see them when they take off, and you wave to them when they cross the finish line, and you hope they're more towards the front than they are towards the back. Their drive, and the reason that they've been working so carefully with us, is that by having the course circulate around the top of the landform, they're looping back and forth, and with bleachers, you'll be able to be on the landform and see how the event is taking place as they're running the 2, 3, 5, or 10K. So they're very supportive of this as a function. One of the other reasons, and I'll jump a little bit ahead of you, is that all of the existing parking, which we've used for the Cougar Stadium, becomes a principal point of parking for all of our activities. And when they start looking at NCAA championships and 6,000 to 10,000 people, you know, coming to those events, so we need to have a place where we can accommodate all of those features. So along with the First Tee, the track and field, those are some of the major spearheads behind what's happening. From an environmental standpoint, one of the significant things that we'll be doing is both along the north portion here, coming down through and over the Fox River in this location, and then also from the south, starting here and wrapping around this way to the Fox River, we'll be doing a stormwater quality improvement with all of the stormwater that's coming into and on and through the site. We'll be developing that both as a educational as well as a water quality enhancement feature, again, consistent with many of the things that King County has incorporated in all of their planning studies over the last 10 or 15 years. As a byproduct of that, we'll be able to use the excavation of those stormwater facilities for the fill, both for the golf course holes as well as for the track. That will be important because in order to get the track built on the side of the slope, we'll have to put little diversion berms up to carry the trail, and also as part of the remodeling of the golf course, we'll need fill, and we really are not enjoying much of a economic development where we have excess fill driving up and down our roads lately, so we feel we'll have to generate it on site. But again, a key portion of incorporating the environmental aspect into the development aspect. The other important thing as it relates to the stormwater is this same stormwater down in this area could be the stormwater for all of these private properties that have not been developed. Those are privately owned. Now, they're all the properties you've seen vacant for all these years on the north side of Kirk Road. But we're doing two things which we think will encourage development for them. One would be the joint use of the stormwater facilities, and the other will be this east-west roadway that's running in this location. Because we'll be able to get, we feel, a right-in, right-out at approximately this location. This is the existing entrance to the landfill in this location. And with this east-west connector roadway, we feel we'll be able to actually have those properties develop either individually as large lots or as small lots. We would hope that they would do some kind of a linkage in terms of our user aspects in terms of the whole complex, but they certainly don't have to. To complete that circulation system, this is the entrance drive to Cougar Stadium. The road will come down through and around the facility. It will go back through and through the golf course, looping back around here. It will connect to the jail site, which will hopefully become a resort and convention facility sometime in the future, and will potentially have a connection point out to 25 across from the existing access point over to the windmill and to the river access points. I'll jump a little bit to the resort. As you all know, part of the siting of the jail, part of the building of the new facility was to economically redevelop this area. So that's nothing new. It's been everyone's plan for a long time. The county has recently authorized the demolition of those buildings. As those buildings are being demolished, we're going to use as much of the rubble and the reusable materials as possible. So we'll be continue to be environmental as it relates to this project. And even though this will be a long time in the future before the economic development will spur a facility like that, we think it's a great space holder. And the reason I connected the roadways to that is so that you'll be able to circulate internally on the whole site so we don't have to have users coming on and off of our major roadways surrounding the site. As a byproduct of that and using the stone cottage, which is in this location right here, we're looking at kind of a little historical settlers village there. We'll use the stone house, which is already there, and we'll collect other historic homes. And we feel that we can plant those there now as a tourist and as a user destination point, and having that be in the front yard of what will potentially be a future resort, we think, again, primes the pump. Again, user-built, always building on the past into the future. That's the goal of the plan. I would point out probably also at this juncture that these other holes, which are on the yellow masses, which is probably a big omission at this time, the yellow-toned area on this map represent the topography and the footprints of the waste boundaries of the two existing landfills. This was the old Midway landfill. This is the Settlers Hill landfill. So we really are limited to the types of uses we can put on those facilities. We can build up it. We can't, you know, penetrate, you know, back onto them. So those have obviously had great care to protect those. And all of the other green or blue or paved areas are non-landfill areas, so we're not that limited within those, you know, particular portions. But these holes on this portion of the landform would be the replacement holes to develop this as the executive course. Another feature of this executive course, in conjunction with the first tee, and the first tee could start very early on in terms of this process. The resort will probably come later, but any of you who go to conventions and try and play golf while you're getting between the sessions, you don't have a whole enough time to play 18 holes. We feel that we could jump on to this executive course as another inducement to build value for the resort in the future. So we're solving the first tee and the childhood participation immediately, and we're priming the pump, for the future. The other thing that we talked about and have studied a lot is a music venue. This is probably the most controversial feature of the plan. We think that it's very appropriate. It's been identified by a number of people who have done studies in the past. We are looking at selecting a music venue which would be smaller up in this location, mid-size run behind the kickers, the Strikers Soccer Club portion here. And we've also modeled over within the woods a footprint of what could be as large as a Ravinia. We think the ambiance of this area, protecting the history, protecting the trees, using internal circulation in terms of parking, we think that that is a viable use, for that area. But that, like many of the other things I've talked about tonight, need a lot more study, and we're not trying to get anyone's endorsement now. We're just trying to get all of the pieces put on the table so we can move forward with the design. The other thing that's not shown clearly is the mountain bike group has talked to us about getting into this area. Presently, they come up and down the river, come across, and they're somewhat using this area now, but we have a trail system that would come along the south side of Fox Run along the top here, and then back up to the area where we have our winter sports thing with a cardiac climb where we actually try and go from the bottom of the hill all the way up to the top of the hill. And if you're the type of folks that are enough in shape to do mountain biking and have the courage to be able to participate in that sport, it saves them a long trip up to Wisconsin, which is where their club goes now. They also feel that they have a user group that would end up doing a yearly pass, and they also feel that they could hold some of their events within this area. So we want them circulating around the whole site. And then also, as I didn't point out originally, these darker yellow areas will be sledding hills. They're on the north side of the landform, so we'll be able to get snow on them without having to make snow. We're not anticipating making snow. We also, on this unlandfilled portion of the area, we have a skating pond. And again, it's not on the landform. It's off the landform, so it's not violating the integrity of the cap. And then the circulation system would come along the top here for access to that so that you don't have to walk from here all the way up that hill with your kids to be able to sled with them. You could park in this area right here close to where the kids are going to be going. The other thing that will be part of this is a bunch of smaller trails. We view that within this group of unbuildable area, we could end up with some kind of a rehabilitation complex, a sports medicine complex. We could link things to the facility where you could actually have a path for cardiac recovery. And so rather than always walking in the malls around here, you could maybe come out to Settlers Hill and walk the trails of Settlers Hill, because you could go for miles any particular grade that you want. If you've got knee replacement or hip replacement surgery, we feel that we can have trails that would end up having a 6% slope to a flat slope to a 9% slope, classify the length as well as the steepness for those types of rehabilitation facilities. We certainly will keep all of the woodland within the forest preserve area as natural, and we'll have nature trails through there. That's a very underutilized resource right now. There's been a number of invasive species that have come in over the years, because most of the attention along the forest preserve and along the river trail has been between Route 25 and the river. Not much of it has spilled over, but we still have remnants of the Fabian Estate on the other side of the facility, which we'll be uncovering, learning more about, and incorporating into our plan. Again, to find destination points now to drive users to the site so that we can, again, build economic development through those uses. That pretty well sums up most of the features I hopefully have labeled on the site. If I've missed anything, Tim or Mike or Phil can add to it. If not, we can answer questions.
Okay, thank you. Open it up to questions from the dais first. Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris, don't sit down, please. This is a wonderful plan. It's very exciting if we could get it done. One of the most important features for Geneva, of course, is then ecological as well as the methane recycling into the power plant. We get it's a significant secondary source of electricity for Geneva. Will that be continue to exist?
Yes. That facility is right here, and that will remain.
Wonderful. Has there been any, we know that's a landfill. Has there been any subsidence of the top of it, the 167 feet, or do you anticipate any?
There is always, some as it relates to the compression of the garbage as it, settles in. But the stuff that you saw today, it really has been compacted to such a way that some of the erosion, which collects and erodes the top cap, that's about all that you have to worry about. There really is not much subsidence that has occurred since the cap did.
So you don't think building some sort of a observatory there will be a problem?
No. We'll have to spread the footing, because we have to be careful not to load it, because we don't want to super compress it.
What is the thickness of the cap?
It's 4 feet.
4 feet. Mm-hmm. So one does have to be careful in building trails and things. And,
yes.
Yeah. But that's all in the plan, I take it.
Yeah.
Well, it's very exciting. And who's paying your dime today?
I think the money so far for
this has come from the county, right?
Mike and Tim, I think it's out of the Enterprise Fund is what is actually doing this. And this is very achievable. I mean, I've been consulting on landfills all over the Midwest. I've testified on 39 of them. All of them have end-use plans, none of them to the degree of sophistication that this one can be. And based upon the good success that we're getting from the potential users without even talking to the public yet, we think all of these things are, you know, achievable and financeable.
I certainly like the idea of reusing the parking for many different venues and facilities because, you know, parking is expensive, and those are beautiful big parking lots, which I see empty every day as I drive by them. So
it's an existing asset.
Yes, an existing asset, right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Where is the accessibility for parking in and around that skating pond? Is there going to be availability for it? Looks like it.
What will happen? A number of different things. You'll either
I see
come
the skating
in.
Pond. I don't see the parking.
The parking is in this configuration right here and also here.
Oh, okay.
Now I have 1-inch equals 100 true scale plan that I could put up here, but it's 6 feet long and 5 feet tall, and it's actually scalable.
We'll believe you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Alderman Hill.
Chris, this is an awesome plan.
Great.
Congratulations.
We're happy about it.
I'm somewhat familiar with the First Tee program. Mm-hmm. I worked at a golf course where they used it, and what a wonderful use for a smaller area that where you can't really put a complete golf course there. You can put a short nine-holer there maybe, or some of the folks who would just rather play for an hour and a half rather than three, four, five, or six. But the First Tee for the young people is just an awesome program. You're teaching those kids how to be young men and young women with responsibility and how to understand the rules of golf and the rules of life.
And it really meshes like that. Monica yes. Myers from the Forest Reserve and Greg Martin, the local golf course designer in Batavia, have been working very hard with that. And that's a real success point of this plan
yes.
to be able to incorporate
that's
that.
Really great. Thank you very much for mm-hmm. being involved in it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Just a question on how do you tend to phase these in? I'm sure that the whole complex can't be built up, you know, as rapidly as you would like. How do you anticipate phasing these venues in? Do you have any plans on that, or is it still too premature?
Yeah, it's a little early to be able to answer that with any kind of specificity. But probably in terms of things that will happen sooner rather than later. The First Tee will probably happen sooner rather than later.
Okay.
The cross-country track and field stuff will probably happen sooner than later. As a result of that, the environmental stuff would probably be more towards the front. The other things will, you know, kind of lag behind based upon what the economy is
and the marketing.
And who steps forward and actually, you know, wants to, you know, develop a you know, priority place here. This has long been a recreation destination. The golf course has been there for over 30 years. So people think, you know, to come to this, you know, location. So we also want to build on that heritage that's already been marketed and developed.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, I'll have one. Have you guys talked to Metra at all about possibility of a train stop, maybe?
There's been a number of studies that have been done, and yes, they have talked. I have not personally talked to them, but there's a number of stops that would be convenient within this zone, which would directly feed either one of the music venues or support the Cougar Stadium or get access to us. The mountain bike people are firmly convinced that there's many of their ridership, from closer into the city that would come out by train with their mountain bikes and use this facility because he says it will equal anything that they ride up to Wisconsin for. So we think that, again, there'll be lots of linkages here. That's what we're looking for.
Okay. All right. If there's no questions from the dais, I'll open it up to questions from the audience. Does anybody comments, questions? I see hands.
I have a question.
You got to come forward and give us your name and address. And
birthday? No.
No, I wouldn't ask for that.
My name's Cherise DeMaria. I live on Old Kirk Road, 590.
My concern is a number of things. Where is the water supply going to come from? Because when they put in, I think it was north of us in St. Charles, the industrial park, and the one in Batavia, all of our wells went dry. So we were stuck with $8,000 to $10,000 a bill, you know, per household for this, and there was nothing that we could do about this. That's my one concern. Number two is air pollution and noise. Has the EPA been consulted on this? What about the wildlife? I mean, I have a lot of concerns here.
Okay. I'll just take a minute to remind everybody that for the city council tonight, this is just an information session. We're not making any decisions or recommendations. So your best course of action with concerns is to get in touch with the county, but we'd still like to hear, you know, what you have. Mike, did you want to say something?
Yes. I mean, I can respond to all these individually now, but if you don't want to take up your meeting time for that, I'd simply make myself available to any individual here, either tonight after we leave, or I provide my phone number and email information, and I can answer as many questions as I can that people might have.
Okay. I think that would be a good approach. Anybody? I saw another hand.
That's all right. I'll just refer my question to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, that's it. Then thank you guys very much for presenting this to us. It's a very exciting concept.
Thank you all very much for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Do you have any idea of a time scale, Mike, before you run out? Any sort of a...
Yeah.
You're looking 5 to 10 year time scale to build out something like this, or...
I think 5 to 10, certainly. Some of the, as Chris said earlier, some of the items will come on in the next 2 or 3 years, but some of the economic development things that require a lot of private funding could take 5 to 10 years to really materialize out here.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you,
everyone.
Thank you.
That was a good job getting that done without all.
That's what I was trying to say. I need a penny.
Okay.
Okay.
Escape.
Can't get rid of it.
Hit escape.
Okay. Alternate control delete. The only one I know.
Escape's not working.
Yeah. I think you found the parking for the skating pond, though.
That's unfortunate. Oh. It's in the Zoom mode right now.
It is. There it is.
Hey, all right, computers 101 by Mary McKittrick. Okay, folks, moving on. Are there any amendments to tonight's agenda? Okay, no amendments. We will move on to the omnibus agenda. Can I have a motion to approve?
Second.
Alderman Marks and Alderman Singer. Roll call, please.
Dean Kilburg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg. Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Matthew Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Okay, that carries us to agenda item number 10, municipal bills for payment.
Clerk. Bills for payment total $2,155,629.20.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual bills are available on the city website and the city council package for tonight.
Second.
Second by Alderman Singer. Okay, roll call.
Dean Kilburg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Don Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Vogelsberg, aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Okay. Committee of the Whole items for business. There's one item here. Item A, consider resolution number 2012-28, approving fiscal year 2012-13 city budget.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Flanagan and Alderman Hill. Comments, questions? Alderman Flanagan.
I just wanted to thank Mary and the staff for putting together hopefully a very good budget, and we'll live by it. But thank you very much.
A very tight budget.
A very tight budget, yes. That's why I said live by it.
Okay. Roll call.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Vogelsberg, aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Carries. Item 13.
That'll be on next week's agenda, too, right?
Nope, that's it.
That's it.
Oh, yeah, never mind. I'm reading the top. It says Committee of the Whole. Never mind.
Right. Item 13, new business. Anybody on dais have new business? Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last Sunday, early afternoon, I had a marvelous honor to attend an Eagle Court of Honor that was held at the Geneva Lutheran Church, and three young men from our community were honored and became Eagle Scouts, and it was just really something special. And I can't be gracious enough for the fact of my being invited. I thought that was just an honor in itself. And by being there, I was so pleased to see these young men honored in the way they were. And it made me feel so good to have a sense of the manner in which our young people in our community present themselves. And that in itself, I think, is just something very, very special. These three young men, Brian and Mark and Alex, achieved a distinction that is very difficult to achieve. And I have nothing but praise for them and admiration, and I wish them nothing but great success in their future years. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have the full names you could read?
Oh, yeah, Brian Adler, Mark Schultz, and Alex Sparacio. I think that's how it's pronounced. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Singer. And does anybody else on the dais have an item for new business? Okay, so taking a segue from Alderman Singer, speaking of Eagle Scouts, Bob?
Hello, Bob Tomaszewski from Troop 37, and I would like to announce my troops fundraiser that is coming up this Saturday. It is an all-you-can-eat spaghetti dinner. It's Saturday, April 21st. It's from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Geneva Lutheran Church. Serving all-you-can-eat spaghetti with marinara sauce, meatballs, garlic bread, salad and dessert comes with it, coffee and milk, and pop is available, but there's an extra charge. Yeah, we'll be selling troop t-shirts in case anybody's interested. Tickets are available in advance or at the door. Adults are $10, seniors are $7, kids 5 through 11 are $5, and under 5 is free. And there's like a family package you can do. It's $33. Okay. And then also our troop is going to be at the Earth Day 2012 Peck Farm Park event. We're going to be holding a booth on the Leave No Trace. We're doing a Leave No Trace demo, which is environmentally clean, such as in stuff like camping and those activities. So I think that covers it. Any questions?
I'll ask some.
Okay.
So that's a fundraiser, the spaghetti dinner. So my first question, I guess, is are you sure you want to do all you can eat? I mean, I might show off. That would be...
It is raised thousands in the past, so...
All right. Did you not also have a fundraiser for your Eagle project?
Yes, this is the troop's fundraiser. This money goes directly to the troop.
All right. How did the pancake breakfast go?
It went very well. I raised about $544.
Very good.
And as of now, I've raised all of my proposed budget.
All right. And that is for the gazebo, right?
Yes.
How many people are going to work on that, do you know?
About 6 to 8 people. I'm looking forward to do the actual work, so it'll be, and I plan on working on that June 9th and 10th of, June 9th and 10th of this year.
All right, cool. So you've been here before, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, last question. Did you know there's an Eagle Scout? I'm not going to do that. All right, thank you, Bob.
Okay, thanks.
Any other items for new business? No? All right, I'll take one more, so just brag for a second. You know, my son David's an Eagle Scout. So, congratulations, David.
Has he met Mr.
Pardon me?
Has he met Mr. Lambert?
I don't, yeah, he knows about him, though.
Everybody does.
Do you want to?
No, I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Here was that again.
Yes.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Alderman Marks, Alderman Singer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Don? All right. Thanks, Don. You have a good evening. Hope you feel better.
I will.
Good night, everybody.